And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, just making it cool to be a conservative. We're going to number two on the Triple Dipper. You know the deal. Sometimes when you look around the world, you begin to recognize there's a lot of news right here at home. I mean, like you look at it and go, I mean, we got stuff happening in our own backyard that we got to keep track of, things that may actually be important or of information or just good to know. And we like to call that around here cooking up a batch of home fries. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Butter's on the sound effect. Just cooking up the home fries. Smell them from here. All right. So, I'm gonna start running through some news from Alabama or news that impacts Alabama. And we do this periodically because I'll be honest with you. I say it all the time, but I mean it when I say it. The things that happen in your own backyard, especially what happens in your state capital, not D.C., not what's happening on the foreign policy, you know, international world stage. Who cares about the U.N.? Sometimes what happens right here in your backyard, especially your state capital, can have more impact on your day-to-day than what happens elsewhere. I was convinced of that by my time in the state legislature. I got down to Montgomery thinking that I understand the processes. I didn't know squat. I didn't know where the bathrooms were in the state house, and I'm helping pass the laws. But I began to realize, holy cow, I cast a vote, and it impacts, like, you know, 5 million people. And it's also something that is, like, impactful to their day, like what happens in their schools or what happens on the price they pay at the pump or, you know, whatever. Anyway, and then sometimes it's just good stuff. Like, you want to know that, hey, man, Alabama's on the world stage. Like, for instance, story from Huntsville, WAFF, Channel 48 out of Huntsville. Did you know, if you didn't know, you're about to, that leading the Macy's Day Parade, the big parade, the parade of parades, leading the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade, or Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, was Alabama A&M's marching band, which was very cool. It was historic for a number of reasons. Number one, it was an Alabama band that was leading the parade. It was also the first time that one of the HBCUs, historically black colleges and universities, had a chance to be featured that way. So anyway, story on WAFF is talking about it, which I thought was cool, so I led off with that because what a good news story. Says the big stage was really something, everything the band director Carlton Wright could have asked for his students. In fact, he pointed out, I didn't know this, they made the front of the Wall Street Journal. He said, you can check out the Wall Street Journal. One of our sousaphone players is featured on there, and his eyes are all aglow. The smile on his face tells the entire story of what the entire weekend was about. That student, by the way, was a kid named Elijah Lee. He said it was one of the moments that made everything just seem so real. He said, getting a picture on the Wall Street Journal, that was pretty big. That was like a full circle moment for me because it was like bigger than myself. I put sousaphones on the front of the paper, he said. The band's on the front of the paper. That's what it was all about. Anyway, I lead off with that because, you know, good news still happens. I like seeing it. I don't even know where Elijah Lee's from. He might be a big city kid, or who knows? He might be playing the sousaphone from, you know, some little dog patch in the back corner of Alabama. Who knows? But he's on the front of the Wall Street Journal now, marched in the biggest parade in the nation. Thank you very much.
Hey, can't take that away from him.
Can't. What is a sousaphone, by the way?
An instrument.
It sounds like something from a Dr. Seuss episode or book.
My daughters will probably be upset for me for not being able to describe it. And I'm actually on the board for our high school band here.
Well, you have so. Just become an epic fail. You
know,
you're on the band board.
I'm going to go write it on the board.
I have no idea what a sousaphone is. I have to look it up now. I'm embarrassed to say I don't. But I'm manly enough to be able to admit it. How about that? All right. Some of y'all out there may be curious to know that you're about to get some money in the mail. And are we at a break already? We're gonna be at a break here momentarily. So I'll just hold that in advance. Let that be a teaser for you. When I get back, I'll tell you the state of Alabama is about to mail out some money just in time for Christmas. I don't know if it'll be impactful.
We got about 1 minute.
I'm going to go ahead and lead off with it then.
Yeah.
All right. Then here. Just so you know, the Alabama Department of Revenue will start sending one-time tax rebates on Friday. Now, I'll be honest with you, some's better than none. I took a little issue with this because I felt like they could have done a long-term credit or tax relief of some type. They did do some of that with the grocery taxes. But At the very least, they're doing something. They're finally given some, and I say finally because I was really discouraged with the way that especially the governor's office handled all of the COVID relief funds. How much of that came back to your pocket? That would be mostly none. But yeah, the Alabama Department of Revenue, according to AL.com, will start sending out one-time tax rebates on Friday, this coming week. The amount of each rebate is based on the qualified taxpayer status. It's $150 for singles, $300 for married filing jointly. If you filed a 2021 return, that means you are in the hopper to receive a check. And if you got your last refund, which I haven't seen a refund in years, if you got your last refund by deposit or paper check, that's the way it's coming this time. So stay tuned. Watch the mail. Don't rip it up because you think it's a credit card solicitation. It may be money from the state. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, cooking up more home fries right after this. Y'all stay tuned. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And I mean like covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. It goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, I gotta pause and tell you, you hear the ads playing during the breaks, right? Just know this, Right Side Radio, we are a standalone entity. We are a business unto ourselves. You're listening to us on the radio live right now. Just know that those radio stations, they don't own our content. We do. We send them our show. So here's the deal. If you listen to the show and you realize that you're a ruffian, Right Side Ruffian, and you've got goods and services and you recognize that we got thousands, literally thousands of Right Side Ruffians that listen every day, they may want to know about your goods and services. Maybe you want to advertise on Right Side Radio because that is part of how we sustain our operations as a business. So yeah, if you want to advertise on Right Side Radio, we'd love to talk to you. The way you do it is not calling the station. You got to contact us directly. So you go to rightsideradio.org. That's our website, rightsideradio.org. Click on the advertising and contact tab. Send us a message. We will get back to you ASAP and look forward to hearing from you. By the way, Thomas from Athens just texted in and said a sousaphone is like a tuba you can more easily carry in a parade. The Alabama A&M band was fantastic, he says. Video can be seen only as recorded by a BET New York local TV station, I guess is what he's saying, or by New York. Anyway, he says, because NBC, CBS, and ABC did not show this milestone performance. Are they racist, he asks. Wow. There you go. Ron from Huntsville also said a sousaphone is a big, deep-sounding bass instrument. Some call it a tuba. Why don't you just call it a tuba then?
Because it's not a tuba.
I got it.
It's not a tuba.
It's not a tuba. Kerry Lake from, I'm sorry, let me back up. Brand new texter, JR from Madison. We need to plug his name in there, bud. JR from Madison, thank you for joining the show, by the way. He says, Kerry Lake at the Iowa State Fair explained that there were two genders, like trying to milk a bull. See how that goes. Nice. Scott from Somerville says, your opening monologue was inspiring, he says. I spent my life trying to be as much of a man as my grandfather. Hunting, fishing, being forthright, even when people don't want to confront truth. He says, funny, my first lesson was when I was about 5 years old. While on a hunting trip, my grandfather made coffee before we headed to the woods. I asked for milk and sugar. Papa said, real men don't put that stuff in their coffee. I've drank mine black ever since. Nice.
I do enjoy milk in my coffee. I'm gonna be forthright there. Well, so
I know some of the places you've been in life, so I will not reject your manhood. I tell you, but I got it. Apparently, we're jumping back on that topic before I go back to home fries. So, one of the best, something he said there just reminded me, one of the best movies that I've ever seen that I feel like, I mean, there's a few of them that like every boy should have to watch because it's just, it teaches respect, it teaches courage, it teaches honesty, it teaches, you know, overcoming obstacles, it teaches standing up to bullies. Open Range. You seen that one? I hope you've seen that one. I may have to question your manhood now. Holy cow, he puts milk in his coffee and he's not seen Open Range.
No.
Open Range, Kevin Costner, Robert Duvall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh,
you yeah. better say yeah.
I'm just sitting here thinking I need to go home and watch 300. That's what.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, or Gladiator.
Gladiator, absolutely. Gladiator. So Open Range, I thought, taught so much about just what it means to be a salt of the earth stand-up guy. It just did. Even respect for women was in the movie. Even respect for women in light of things, like I'll never forget one of my favorite lines was Kevin Costner goes, I want to make sure you understand, Sue, men are going to die here today. I'm going to be the one killing them. And he's just saying it like he's going out to round up the cattle, you know. But anyway, great movie. All right, back on this. We're talking about news in our own backyard, cooking up a batch of home fries. Yeah, sizzling them up, cooking them, smelling them from here. Here's one for you. Story on 1819 News. You've probably been hearing about the schism in the Methodist Church. Maybe some of y'all out there are Methodist yourself, and this has been really something to watch. I mean, wow. It's not been a small thing, by the way. If those of y'all who are listening are not Methodist, maybe it hadn't been on your radar as much, but this has been a real deal issue in an entire congregation or denomination. So right now, how's it impacting us? Well, how about this? In Alabama alone, story here on 1819 News came out today, 574 congregations have disaffiliated from the United Methodist Church conferences in Alabama. So keep in mind, the United Methodist Church, that's the denomination. United Methodist is a denomination. They're broken down for organizational structure into what they call conferences. And those conferences are in different geographic locales. Alabama has two of them. One is called the Alabama West Florida Conference. The other one's called the North Alabama Conference. Just between those two conferences, 574 congregations have disaffiliated. And a lot of them are going to what is being stood up as the new, you know, the Presbyterians went through this some years ago, PCA and PCUSA now. And you know, one is typically more progressively liberal than the other. But this is a split largely over the idea of, allowing homosexuality to be recognized as okay within the church framework. It's not. It's causing the schism. So here's one of the big problems they're facing, though. All these churches, the majority of them, own property. Who owns the property? The denomination or the local congregation? Well, the fight has become, technically, legally, the denomination owns it. But in practicality, the denomination doesn't mow the grass. The denomination doesn't make the payments. The denomination isn't the one who did the building campaign to raise the money and, you know, put on the new Sunday school wing. It's been the local congregation. And when they disaffiliate then, what are you going to do with it, denomination? Are you going to keep an empty building out of spite? That sounds great. So the question then becomes, do we have to buy it from you? We shouldn't have to buy it. We already paid for it. Well, it's a big tussle. It's a mess. And a lot of them are forming what's called the New Global Methodist Church. I don't like the name Global added to it, but nonetheless, Global Methodist Church, the, yeah. the GMC, that's where most of them are going to. And one of the things this article points out in 1819 is there's over 4,000 churches worldwide who have now disaffiliated. 24% of those, I'm sorry, but that's not counting, it says, all the churches that are actually dying off, because people are just voting with their feet. They're just leaving. They're not even waiting around to say what the denomination will approve or disapprove. They're just going, I'm going down the road to that church where they're not fighting.
Yeah, my uncle actually is a lawyer in South Carolina, dealt with that in the Presbyterian, when all of that, his church dealing with the property. The other big thing was all the endowments and your scholarship funds, because you got some churches out there with, you know, especially in very prominent areas, that's a lot of money sitting in the bank that they're doling out every year.
I tell you, the other one too is the United Methodists also have a retirement fund for their pastors, and they also, United Methodists typically own parsonages. Because they move their people around. So they have a house that's a parsonage. But the United Methodist Retirement Fund, then what do? If the pastor is going with the congregation to disaffiliate, does he get to take his retirement with him? Great question. But it's a mess. And by the way, they've had to file multiple lawsuits. Like, for instance, one in Montgomery, right here in Alabama. In Montgomery County Circuit Court, judge dismissed a case earlier this month. But the Alabama Supreme Court is going to hear it in oral arguments, and that's about a church in Dothan, where they're saying, look, we paid for this church. We paid for the facilities. If we want to leave with them under rules that y'all said we could leave under, then how come we can't have the facility that you didn't pay for, we did? It's a mess, and you hate to see it. I'm just hoping they can recover. I'm just hoping they can recover. There's a beautiful little church, a little country Methodist church not far from my house. I mean, it's like something on a postcard, little white church with a bell and a beautiful white steeple. It's the kind of place, like almost like a destination for weddings. And they just disaffiliated. I just noticed driving by the other day, they changed the sign. Like, wow, that's wow. How about that? All right, last one before the break. Which one do I want first? Let's see here. How about this one? I'll do this one. I didn't see this coming, but I don't argue with it. Why would you? The only reason why you would argue against this is because you just want the money. I say that from the state level. So State Senator Arthur Orr, who I need to call and get on the show again, hadn't had him on in a while. State Senator Arthur Orr, who is a leadership in the Alabama State Senate, Republican, from Decatur. Senator Orr has a proposal that would remove the sales taxes from feminine hygiene products, baby wipes, diapers, baby bottles, and other, you know, things related to maternity and early child rearing. He said he first became interested in just untaxing the feminine hygiene products because other states have done so. He said, I got to thinking about the issue and thought it makes no sense really that states and cities and counties should be taxing a necessity that only one gender has to pay for. Okay. He says, as for the baby supplies, I like this. He goes, Orr said Alabama touts itself as a pro-life state. He said, we need to support our families and those that are having children. I agree with that. I agree with the sentiments overall. I also agree with the idea that if you're going to be a pro-life state, you cannot confine the issue of life just to in the womb. What happens after the womb? If you're going to encourage people to not go the abortion route, then there are going to be times when you need to also help them with the processes of the pregnancy and the life thereafter. You've got to get more into the idea of fostering adoptions and allowing people certain tax credits and things like this, taking the sales tax off of diapers and all the stuff it takes to raise kids. I'm going to tell you right now, too, I don't know what happened during the COVID pandemic, but suddenly diapers and baby formula were like, there was like a black market for it.
And toilet paper.
It was weird. Like, who is out there eating toilet paper? What is happening right now? What does toilet paper, do they have a run on toilet paper? And then like I heard one theory on this, by the way, was that the toilet paper manufacturers, there's the toilet paper manufacturers that, you know, they make the home style toilet paper, the soft stuff,
right?
The kind you wish you had everywhere. And then there's the commercial grade toilet paper, which
we lived on in the military.
Oh my gosh. Like, hey, honey, care package, toilet paper, thanks. But that when all the businesses began to shut down and send people home and schools and everything else, that suddenly there was an overabundance and factories had to retool to start building up, I don't know, more people were at home needing home toilet paper.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I guess. All I know is we still have some of our war stock in a closet.
Oh, yeah. I'm never going below two packs ever again.
Don't do it. It's like, you know, You got your 90 days worth of dry goods and your toilet paper. Just saying. We could go a whole segment on that. Take us to a break, brother. We're going to finish up home fries after this. Listen, toilet paper. It's a big deal. Can we stop taxing toilet paper too? That would be awesome. Why? Because it's a necessity. That's why. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, just like making common sense a superpower. That's what I like to say. I tell you what, I got a caller held on during the break. Is that Brian? Brian from Huntsville. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Doing okay, sir. And I thought I mentioned toilet paper is one factor, but it was the, oh, gee, you can work from home factor.
Yeah.
And people start closing down buildings. They can save on electricity. Nobody's taking toilet paper from their buildings or using it during the time.
Yeah.
And you have to make your own office space, and you get to pay for it. Oh, gee, we'll give you the computers to loan to you, but now you're paying the power for the computers too.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that came out of COVID that changed the structure of the work world. And I'm hearing there's a movement to go back. You know, I'm more and more you're seeing businesses calling people back because they recognize they can no longer control productivity because they can't walk in and say, hey, why are you playing free cell on your computer right now?
Well, from that aspect and another aspect too and everything, I want to be able to concentrate. I don't want my cat jumping across my keyboard during the middle of the day.
That's true. Yeah. Honey, take the dog out. I'm working. Yeah, I get it, man. All right,
thanks.
Brian. Appreciate you, man.
One.
Thanks. I just saw a text here from John from Lexington, South Carolina. Boomer's near old, Butter's old stomping grounds. If my texture will revive itself. Hang on a second. I'm recycling here. It says they couldn't. I've never seen this. I got a service error on my texture. Why would this be? All right, John, just know I'm trying to read your text. And I'm going to refresh my screen, see if I can get back to it. All right, we're in home fries right now. We're going to end this up pretty soon here. Can I get through these things? How much have I got? We may lap over, but I tell you what, in the middle of all that's going on, cook me up some home fries. Can you cook me up some home fries? Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. This makes me hungry every time. All right, so here's one for you. I've said multiple times that the Alabama Republican Party, that's my party of choice. I've long been a member. I was the party chairman for my county. I was a elected official as a Republican. I was a longtime member of the state executive committee. Proud of it. I will say this, though. It has become so easy. It has become so easy to be a Republican because the Democrat Party is so in so such disarray. I mean, like complete and total chaos. The state Democrat Party doesn't have a snowball's chance of winning a statewide election right now. They're just ate up like a soup sandwich. And so what happens then is, you know, you rise to the level of your competition. I've said this before on the show. You rise to the level of your competition. Well, if you don't have any competition, then maybe you don't rise. And so in some ways, when we wind up looking at things that come out of Montgomery, we'll wonder why. Why would you do that? You got a Republican supermajority. Why would you do that? Well, it's because they don't have any competition. And part of it is because of things like this. The AlabamaReflector.com has a story here that came out yesterday. The Alabama Democrat Party is still drafting its new bylaws after being ordered once again by the Democratic National Committee to revise them because, well, a couple years ago they had a coup. They threw out the old feckless leadership. Thought they're going to have a new thing going on. Didn't quite work out the way they wanted it to, but at least they had new bylaws with all kinds of darn good intersectional caucuses. They have the Native American Caucus, the LGBTQ plus Caucus, the Asian and Pacific Islanders Caucus, the Youth Caucus, the Hispanic Caucus. Why? Because Democrats love identity politics. Then the old guard staged a coup, and they threw out the new guard, and they came in and did away with the bylaws. And suddenly you have people waking up going, where's my disability caucus? I thought I had an LGBTQ plus caucus. How come I don't got a caucus? I need to know where I fit. I don't have a fit anymore. How about this? You're a Democrat. Can you be part of the big team? Anyway, all said and done, they are now revising their bylaws again. And this is why we don't see any competition at the statewide level from the Democrats, because they can't get their act together. They can't even make bylaws that last longer than, a year and a half. And one of the long, this is Rich, really, one of the long time, just really super contentious, racist guys is Joe Reed, who has long held sway over both the teachers union and the Democrat Party. He's back in control now. His son is the mayor of Montgomery, by the way. And his words are, we're not required to have a caucus everybody in the world wants. That says the guy who has constantly used race politics to get his way. Wow. Okay, listen, more of that when we come back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, hour number three, covering down on all the local, the state, the national, yep, all of it. Like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, yeah, welcome to hour number three. Got some great text messages I'm about to jump on here and then finish up this home fry segment we've been doing. I got to tell you, first of all, though, speaking of home fries, people that are cooking it up right here at home and doing a good job of it, the Elm Foundation. Let me tell you about the Elm Foundation for a second. And you may be hearing their ads playing, but the Elm Foundation is like just kind of epic cool. I mean, they are, we had them in the studio a while back and did a full like hour-long interview with them and what they're doing. But they are literally helping people get off the streets and doing it with conservative principles. Things like accountability and planning and hard work and, you know, just basically restoring people to a place of productivity and self-worth in life that maybe they haven't had for a while. And they're doing it in such a great way. It's not like the government just throwing money at something. It's true conservative principles in place as part of a 501c3's effort to restore people. And I love that. And yeah, you can find them, their website, the Elm Foundation, E-L-M, the Elm Foundation at ElmHSV, because they're in Huntsville, ElmHSV.org. That's ElmHSV.org, the Elm Foundation. Check them out. By the way, it's year-end giving time. So if you're thinking about where you want to do something with charitable giving here at the year-end, they're a 501c3. Check them out. Elm Foundation, ElmHSV.org. And tell them you heard about it on the Right Side. All right, let me get a few text messages here, and then I'm going to wrap up this this home fry segment. Scott from Somerville just texted in great. You ever seen Secondhand Lions? He says Secondhand Lions is a great movie about manhood. It is. It's awesome. This was also Robert Duvall. There you go. And Michael Caine. And Haley Joel Osment. And it's an awesome movie. Super entertaining. But it's literally a kid who has no role models in life who goes to live with his two great uncles, I believe. And they are just like the epitome of, here's what it takes to be a man, son. And it's just so good. What, you've seen
that? Yes, that's a good one. That's a good one.
It's a great one. It's also, it's the kind you can sit down with a kid, and like a young kid in the family, and watch it together. It's great job, Scott, for Somerville. Yes, it is. Brandon from Athens says, welcoming Butters to the team. Got big shoes to fill. Butters has been on the team for a while, by the way. You've been the sous chef in here helping to sub in when Boomer had to be on vacation or whatever.
Yeah, about, I guess that's formally about 6 months, something like that. I've been in a few times.
You've been hanging out.
Yeah.
You knew where the buttons were before you walked back in this week.
Yeah.
But we do appreciate you. Louis from Trinity, and I don't know what we're talking about here. He says, are you the one that shot my friend? I don't know what that – oh, that's right. Thank you. Lewis, I am so sorry. That's a line from Open Range. What a great line.
Gotcha.
You the one that shot my friend? Yeah, I did. And I enjoyed it, too. Ba-bam! Done.
I was about to say, is there something I need to know, Phil?
I was thinking, Lewis, you got me mixed up with somebody else. No, I get it. Great line. Jeff from Holly Pond. Dad told me black coffee would put hair on my chest. LOL. There you go. Jeff from Indiana sending me a picture of a sousaphone just so I would know. Thank you, Jeff. I call that a tuba, but thank you very much. Raven from Russellville again says, welcome aboard to Butters. Seeing those big Navy phantoms rolling out of the clouds to save our butts is something I'll never forget. Thank you, sir, for your service. I'm an old Army graduate of the JFK School for Wayward Boys. Yes, he was. Special Warfare Center, Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Chris from Gadsden. The Methodist split is also over the reliability of the Bible and is Jesus the only way to heaven? He said, my dad is a global Methodist, and I know his dad and think the world of him. I would go to bat for his dad. I'm going to tell you right now. All right, last couple stories as we cook up a batch of home fries. Thank you very much. Thank you. Just so you know, Senator Schumer, that was a long batch. Senator Schumer is still after Tommy Tuberville. So Coach Tuberville, Senator Tuberville, is still holding on right now, making his case that, hey, DOD, you don't make laws, you follow them. You don't make policy, you follow it. Well, the DOD is still funding travel expenses and time off for abortion. That's a violation of federal law. Democrats could care less about the law. They don't want to pass a new law. They just want to do what they want to do. So Tuberville said, you know what? Okay, admirals and generals, I'm not going to let you do the speedy process. You got to go through what's called the regular order of business to get your confirmations for your rank. Well, Democrats are just trying to make Tuberville look like a, you know, some kind of, you know, weapon of the far right. Well, truth be told, Republicans have been joining him and just, you know, saying, hey, go for it, Tommy. He's got massive support among the base. He just got an award, by the way, from the Alabama Policy Institute for being the person willing to take a stand on his own. Well, the resolution, if Schumer swears he's going to bring a resolution from the Rules Committee to change the rules and work around Tuberville. But it would require at least 9 Republican votes for final passage. And Tuberville says he doesn't believe that that's going to be, there's going to be enough Republican support for that. Either way, I appreciate knowing that we've got a U.S. senator who takes a stand. Last story I've got. I saved this one for last. I am hearing a rumor from Montgomery. Heard it yesterday. Some of you legislators out there listening to the show, because I know you are, you know who you are. There's a rumor right now that there's going to be a special session on gambling. Why? Because it's important. We need to regulate it and tax it. Well, right now, the mantra, by the way, is there's a lot of illegal gaming going on out there, so we gotta regulate that. Well, it's called the law. If it's illegal, then the law is already in place. That's what you got to do is, you know, enforce the law. Here's an idea. Upfund the Attorney General. Case closed. That's all you got to do. Go ahead and tell the Attorney General, hey, we're going to upfund you, but we're going to want you to create a Department of Anti-Gambling Task Force. And I'm sure that what would happen would be the AG would go, I'm for that. Steve Marshall, he'd do that. But no, they see a revenue opportunity. There's also this huge lobbying influence in Montgomery that is like nothing you've ever seen. It's been corrupt for years. The same bad actors have constantly corrupted our state politics. People have gone to jail. You've seen massive corruption even in the state house. And now what they're saying is they're going to have a special session once again to see whether they can get their act together and expand casino gaming, because every Alabamian is clamoring for that. I mean, nobody cares about the fact that they raise taxes on the pump, at the gas pump. No, and certainly, I mean, people don't care about things like how much their groceries cost, and they don't want school choice. They just want casinos, because that's what we need to do in Alabama, to be normal, to be right, to do stuff, because, you know, bad things are happening. Anyway, stand by and see whether you have a special session. But here's what I'm hearing also. I'm hearing the Senate's not going to go for it. I'm hearing the Senate's ready to leave the House out to dry, because the House is the one pushing this. There are House members that right now that desperately want a casino in their locales, and they're doing whatever the lobbyists from the casino interests will say, and they're willing to bring a bill and put the Senate on notice, and the Senate's going to say, yeah, we're not for that. And the House is going to be left flapping in the breeze. So all you House members out there who are being told, we're going to bring that bill, you're going to have to get on board with it. Just know this. You might want to call your senator in your area and say, if I vote for that thing, are y'all going to go for it? And I guarantee you, the majority of them are going to say, no, we're not.
So would it be wrong to take bets on whether it happens or not? Sorry, I'm a dad. Got to make the dad jokes.
I'll wager you'll see a special session and we'll...
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a mess. All
right. Listen, we're going to take a break right now. We're going to come back from that break and switch gears. Last one I've got on the Triple Dipper today, 15-minute cities. Plus, I got a bunch of text messages to include things about cats having a run on toilet paper. I got to see what that's about. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.